afternoon. Thanks for coming. My name is Shenxian Lin, and I am a graduate student from Purdue Agronomy. And today, I would like to present to you why do we want to use OpenPath for your transport infrared spectroscopy to the measure greenhouse gas emission from agricultural soil, and how do we do that? So first of all, what is the problem? Greenhouse gas emissions from agricultural soil are continuous, dynamic, complex, and also the nonlinear processes. So this diagram shows you the factors that affect greenhouse gas emission from soils. For example, different agronomic practices, different soil properties, and also the micrometeorology. So all of these factors that make the greenhouse gases emitted from soil are both diurnal and episodic. So because the traditional methods such as chamber measurements cannot measure greenhouse gas emission very frequently, they might not be able to capture the loss events. Loss events are such as the gas emissions occurring after rainfall, irrigation, or during a period of the spring thawing. So what are the issues of the chamber measurements and are the motivations? Chamber measurements are the most common method we use to determine greenhouse gas emission from soil. However, there are some limitations. For example, the size of chamber is relatively small, which means the chamber measurements are the lack of the spatial representative. And also, like we mentioned before, there is wide sampling interval. And it cannot consider meteorological factor into account. So in this diagram, you can see that the small turbulence can move the air up and down and affect greenhouse gas emission from soil. And also, it cannot detect sticky gas such as ammonia. So because these limitations potentially lead to a bias to estimate greenhouse gas emission, we propose to use the OpenPath FTIR. So here is the configurations of OPFTIR. So there are two instruments. One is an infrared spectrometer, and the other is a retroreflector. So the distance between these two instruments is about 150 meters. So basically, the infrared radiation emits from a source and pass through the air and reflect it back to the detector by hitting the retroreflector. This is like a mirror. So we can calculate the gas concentration in this path. So here are some of the benefits of the OPFTIR, such as the larger footprint and the shorter sample intervals and the others. So how can we calculate the gas concentrations by using the FTIR? So OpenPath FTIR can acquire the spectrum like this. This spectrum includes the information of all the gases in the air we are interested. For example, you can see the signals of the methane, CO2, N2O, and also the ammonia. So based on this spectrum, we can calculate the gas concentrations by using different chemometric methods. So because the FTIR analysis is a very complex process, and also there are some factors that interfere with the FTIR analysis. In order to make sure the concentrations we calculate from the spectra are accurate, so we need to know the real gas concentration in this path, which means that we need to know the reference. So at the same path, we use a synthetic OpenPath gas sampling system we call the SOPS as a reference. So SOPS is composed of the 10 inlets and it's about 50 meters. And the SOPS can draw the air from this path into the CO2 and the N2O analyzers, so they can determine the CO2 and the N2O concentration in this path. Then we can use this real concentration to assess the concentrations we calculated from FTIR spectrum. Because we only have the CO2 and the N2O analyzers, so that we only can assess the accuracy of the CO2 and N2O concentrations from FTIR spectrum. And the following results, I will only show you the CO2 and N2O results. So this slide shows you the entire field configurations in this project. So in our research, we have the four different continuous cones with different treatments. For example, treatment 1 and 2 are the long-term no-till fields, and 3 and 4 are the long-term tillage fields. And for the nitrogen fertilizer application, we applied anhydrous ammonia in the fall, and also the applied anhydrous ammonia as a side dress in the spring. For example, in 2013 fall, we applied 200 pounds per acre in treatment 1, 100 in treatment 2 and 3. We put nothing in treatment 4. But in 2014 spring, we applied nothing in treatment 1. Also the 100 in treatment 2 and 3, and the 200 pounds in treatment 4 to make sure that all this field can get the same nitrogen rate. So the which is the 200 pounds per acre. So the, how can we determine the gas emission or the concentrations? So the we set the FTIR on a scanner in the center of this field, and we put the 6 ratio reflectors, which means R1, 2, to 6, and we can determine the gas concentration from different treatments. And also you can see the small weather station here to measure wind information. So by combining the wind information and the FTIR determine the concentrations, we can calculate the gas emissions by using the backward Lagrangian stochastic model. And also we put the SOPS and one of the paths here, like you see at the previous slide. So here are some results in 2014. The result I show you is the CO2 and N2O concentrations measured from SOPS and determined by the FTIR from the June 9th to 20th. So let's take a look at the CO2 concentration at your left-hand side. So the black symbols represent the CO2 concentrations measured from SOPS. The white symbols represent the CO2 concentrations measured determined by FTIR spectrum. So you can see that there's a very good agreement between SOPS and the FTIR, and we are very excited about this result. It means the chemometric method we use can calculate CO2 concentration accurately. So the chemometric method we use is the CLS method. CLS means the classical least squared method. And it's a very common method to use to calculate the gas concentration from FTIR spectrum. However, you can see the CLS method did not work very well to calculate N2O concentrations. The same, the black symbol means the N2O concentrations measured from SOPS and the white from the FTIR. Here you can see that even though the trend is similar, but the bias is between the 0 to 10%. So we use a different chemometric method, which is the PLS. PLS means a partial least squared method. And you can see the N2O concentration determined by PLS can get a good agreement, with the SOPS. So the following two slides, I will show you what factors lay the affect the CO2 differences between the SOPS and the FTIR, and also the show the factors lay affect N2O differences. So this slide shows you the effect of the wind speed on the determination of the gas concentrations. So the x-axis is wind speed, and the y-axis is the CO2 differences between SOPS and FTIR. So you can see the zero value here means the CO2 concentrations measured from SOPS are the same with the CO2 concentration determined by the FTIR, which means there is no bias. So here you can see that the higher the wind speed can lead to a better agreement between SOPS and FTIR. So because when the wind speed increases, the air becomes well mixed. So the gas concentration becomes more homogeneous. So we can measure the very similar CO2 concentration by using the SOPS and FTIR. So on the other hand, this spring data, you can see the data become spread when wind speed decreases. So because when wind speed decreases, the air becomes poorly mixed, so which means the gas concentration becomes more heterogeneous. Okay, so and also the heterogeneous gas concentration also imply the spatial heterogeneity of the gas emission from soil. So the take-home message here is how can we deal with the spatial heterogeneity by using the chamber measurement, because its spatial representative is relatively small. So remember the Seale's method did not work very well to the, calculate N2O the concentrations. So this slide shows you the air temperature is one of the important factors that lead to the bias to the calculate N2O the concentrations. So the x-axis is air temperature, and the y-axis is the N2O differences between SOPS and FTIR. So the, also the breakdown, which means the use the Seale's method and the PLS method. So before that, let's take a look at the spreading data right here. These spreading data are not caused by the low temperature, but caused by the low wind speed we mentioned before. So that we exclude these spreading data, and we can find a strong correlation between the air temperature and the N2O differences using the COS model. So because the increase in the air temperature can change the shape of the FTIR spectrum and lead to the bias, we call this temperature broadening effect. So imagine at the same path, if you have the same gas concentrations but different air temperature, you won't be able to get the same spectrum. And you can see the temperature broadening effect can be fixed by the using the PLS model, because the correlation here is pretty small, it's just 0.05. So this is the last slide for the result part. This is the N2O emission from 2014. And remember that in 2014 spring, that we applied 200 pounds per acre the anhydrous ammonia in treatment 4, right? So you can see the higher the nitrogen rate can cause a higher the N2O emissions. And compare the different tillage system, you can see the no-till can lead to the higher N2O emission compared to the till. So because all the fields have the same nitrogen rate, which is 200 pounds per acre, if we consider the application in the fall and the application in the spring. So you can see the treatment 1, 2, 3 led to the lower the N2O emission compared to treatment 4. So we assumed some of the applied nitrogen fertilizer has been lost during the spring sowing. So that's caused the lower the N2O emissions. So what are the conclusions, implications, and the future works? So for the conclusions, this study demonstrates that open path FTIR can measure the greenhouse gas emission over a long-term period with very high the temporal resolution. So for the implications, a lot of wetlands and the paddy fields lead to a tremendous methane emissions. And some of these places are not easy to collect a gas sample. So I think OPFTIR can provide the accessibility to measure the gas emission from these areas. So in the future work, because we also have the data from chamber measurements, so I want to compare the data determined by chamber measurements and the data determined by FTIR. So if we do very well, I mean the OP method, open path method, can be a benchmark to the to assess how good of chamber measurement. So this slide, I want to thank my advisor Dr. Grant, and my committee Dr. Vine and the other crews, and also thank Purdue Grammy, because they provide a very good travel grant and a lot of resources. And also this project is funded by the USDA NEPA project, and the US EPA provide a lot of instruments in this project. Okay, thank you for your attention. I'm ready. Yep.
What's the resolution on the FTIR for
can you be specific what kind of resolution?
Like, what's the minimum detection for,
the sensitivity?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so for FTIR, for the sensitivity of FTIR, for N2O, it's about within the 10 parts per billion. Yeah. So, 5 to 10 parts per billion. Yeah. For CO2, I think it's lower, it's within the 5 parts per million.
And how do you calibrate the FTIR?
Calibrate the FTIR?
Yeah, how do you do the calibration
of it? So the calibration, you mean the the input the standard gas and the measure? Actually, we didn't have this part to calibrate FTIR. Yeah. So that's the reason why we use SOPS as a reference to assess how good the estimation we can get. Yeah.
What's the power requirement on it?
For FTIR or for the others?
For the FTIR.
For FTIR. I'm not sure I know, so I don't know. Yeah, AC power, so probably 12 volts.